not-so-prime time. I'm John Johnson, and we'll talk about that next on MHSAA Perspective. This is the fourth year that schools in Michigan have been forced by the courts to play both genders of basketball during the winter sports season. Since that change was made beginning in 2007-08, moving girls' basketball from the fall, all of the predictable things have happened. Participation in basketball by both genders is down at a rate higher than the decline in population in our state. Attendance at games is down significantly, affecting the budgets of school athletic programs. And the lightning rod issue of this case, college scholarships, has seen a dramatic drop in volleyball and basketball. In volleyball, according to RichKern.com, the average number of Michigan high school players moving on to play Division I college volleyball is down 10%. Using FansOnly.com and ESPN.com numbers, girls' basketball scholarships have dropped by 50% since the sports season's case went to trial back in 2001. And those same sources indicate that boys' basketball scholarships may be off by as much as 25% since the season's change. What does that mean in terms of real numbers? We're down 20. And what does that mean? We were averaging only between 60 and 70 girls basketball and volleyball players heading to Division I play. Now that number is between 40 and 50, out of nearly 8,000 high school seniors playing the two sports. Those are just the indisputable facts. Now we've moved into the next predictable battleground, the primetime issue. In other words, who gets to play on what night of the week and at what time of day? Deciding to switch rather than fight, two of the largest conferences in our state have succumbed to the pressures of those who advocated for seasons change, and on what has been called varsity night, where you have a doubleheader of both genders, have implemented plans to place the girls' contest as the late game on a rotating basis. Well, they say bad things happen in threes, but here, a fourth train wreck has been created. Administrators, coaches, and players in all affected communities initially decided that varsity nights in general would be more successful with the girls playing first. And it was already happening that the girls were playing in front of larger crowds for the second halves of their games, and that those crowds were starting to arrive earlier because once they came and saw the game, they liked it. And then the entire crowd would stay for the boys' game as well. And yes, some administrators saw some revenue recovery potential in this format. Observations of many tell us that what's happening now is that the boys' crowd is late to arrive, if they come at all. The boys are finishing in front of smaller crowds than the girls were compared to when the girls' game was first. And at the time the girls are supposed to be getting ready for their games, they can't help but notice the exodus from the stands, and those who remain for the start of the girls' game are gone before halftime. And one longtime observer of high school sports added something I hadn't thought of. Girls, being more social by nature, were and still are in attendance for the boys' games, but the boys aren't returning the favor. So how many wambulances do we have to send to this train crash? One of the advocates of seasons change dropped those old tired lines of the girls don't know any better and the girls don't know what's good for them on a reporter I spoke to recently about this. And to all that I say, wham, wham, wham. Those unsubstantiated claims worked before, but they don't have to work now. Prior to the beginning of the season's litigation, a regional office of civil rights opinion said that the primetime issue did not fall under Title IX. Sure, that was more than 10 years ago, and interpretations do change, but this fall, a federal district court in Indiana ruled the same way when the issue was brought up there, that the days of the week and the times of the game are not gender equity issues. While it's a different state and a different federal circuit, it's still a good reference point. So if schools are willing to fight, there's already some existing opinions on the legal books to support their ability to schedule games when they want. All the MHSAA can do is pound the bully pulpit on this, since the scheduling of regular season games is exclusively the domain of schools. And so we shall. Join us again next time for another edition of MHSAA Perspective, a production of the Michigan High School Athletic Association.